Hello, it's time for another extended version of the Horseman's Corner. Today it's an archived interview with the late Howard Hale and equine author Tom Motes. You're going to enjoy this one. Let's listen in.
Good morning. Thanks for joining me for today's edition of the Horseman's Corner. I'm Howard Hale, host of the program. Guest on the first two segments of the show is equine author Tom Motes. Let's get started with Tom. Tom, what got you interested in horses in the first place?
Thanks for having me on the show, Howard. I tell you, I got started late in life with horses. I was in my mid-30s, and I had been married to my wife, Carol, for, over a decade. And she had had horses earlier in her life, and it was really something we hadn't discussed much. And then one summer, she saw this horse in a newspaper for sale, and just out of the blue, we went and looked at this horse, and that horse came home, and the horse's name is Niji, and that story has sort of spurred on a series of books that I've done, and Niji was my introduction to horses, at least in horsemanship and an earnest relationship with horses. I'd fed a few over the years. I'd grown up on a large dairy farm, and we had a few that we cared for there, but I had never really done much in terms of riding, and so, for the average person, I'd say I was sort of smitten and obsessed rather late in life.
What were you doing before you got involved with the writing as an equine journalist and author?
Well, I always wanted to be a writer, and I had gone to university and had actually majored in English writing at George Mason University here in Virginia, and was working, really, I was probably best known for my work writing about alternative energy and homesteading, that kind of thing. And I had done some work as a alternative energy contractor, solar work mostly, back before it was widely known and cool, and it was sort of more expensive and on the on the margins of people's minds. And then when Niji entered my life, it's kind of like the obsession with writing and the obsession with horses combined and collided, and my career as a writer really launched at that point. Even though I'd been struggling to make it as a writer, the horses really, it was such a blessing for me, and it was also a blessing for my career. And almost instantly, my work as a writer tripled or quadrupled. It was just amazing, really.
What keeps you going? What keeps you interested in the horses?
Well, the horses themselves, it's just layers upon layers upon layers of understanding. Horses are always challenging me. I have those days where I get really frustrated, of course, but then I also have those days where I will get something done with a horse. I'll achieve a certain understanding, and boy, those moments are, there's nothing else quite like it for me. And I just, if I can spend the most time I can spend each day with a horse, the better off I feel. I really enjoy that and just have a passion for it.
Let's talk about some of the publications you've written for. I've read some of your stuff in America's Horse. That's why I gave you a call. I'd read several articles that you had in America's Horse. What are some of the other publications that you've written for?
Well, I think initially it was Eclectic Horseman that got me started. Emily Ketching over at Eclectic Horseman, the editor and owner of the magazine there, she published a few of my essays early on. And, really the first book in a series, it's a Horse's Thought, and then the second book in that series, Between the Reins, and then one that's just come out here recently called Further Along the Trail. That first book, A Horse's Thought, the first few chapters of it were initially essays that I had written for magazines. Some of them ran in America's Horse, and some of them also ran in Eclectic Horseman. But in terms of being an equestrian journalist and a freelancer, I've written for quite a number of magazines. The AQHA magazines, America's Horse, and the American Quarter Horse Journal, I'm very frequently a contributor to both of those. It's one of my favorite markets to write for, and I have quarter horses myself, and I have a quite a love for them. Even though I do enjoy working with all different kinds of breeds, I've really enjoyed my quarter horses. I also have written for magazines. Well, I'm on the masthead at Equus magazine, and a lot of people are familiar with my work there. Particularly, I contribute case reports, sort of medical case reports there often. I'm just sort of fascinated with, you know, the veterinary research and science, and often the case reports are veterinary incidents that are a little bit unusual. So, you know, I have a kind of a curiosity for things like that, and I also like to help spread information to other horse owners and veterinarians as well, and Equus is a lot of fun for that reason. I've written for other publications like American Cowboy. Recently, I've been doing some work for Ranch and Riata magazine, which is a new magazine that has a strong sort of downloadable presence, which is a little bit, you know, use of the new technology. A.J. Mangum, that used to edit over at Western Horseman, he's sort of piloting the editorial side of that project. And, of course, I write for Western Horseman as well. Lately, the most recent things I've done have been sort of the Women of the West interviews, and they're sort of a collage of quotes of various women in the West, ranch, you know, real ranch women, and that's been a lot of fun to do. I've enjoyed those quite a bit. And I've been doing some work overseas as well. A lot of times my work will appear in an Australian magazine called Hoofbeats. And also in the UK recently, I've been doing some work for a new magazine called Western Horse UK there, sharing some of our American Western riding traditions. And some of the work in my books as well has been excerpted there for UK. Had a big response from that. So
that's interesting that there is an interest in the Western horse and the Western lifestyle overseas.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, well, Australia, I've always had a pretty strong readership in Australia, and, you know, I have a good friend there named Ross Jacobs, who's a clinician, and he's also worked with my mentor, clinician Harry Whitney, and, you know, my those three books that I mentioned earlier, they really relate a lot of my, you know, sort of Harry's patient guidance, helping me work through a lot of learning about horsemanship and some of the troubles that I've had over the years with various horses. Well, Ross, you know, has been studying with Harry longer than I have, and he teaches clinics, and I think his students are part of my readership there. And, of course, they have a lot of ranches and more of a sort of at least Australian-style Western riding. But in the U.K., you know, you typically think it's an English world. It's an English riding world. But I feel like there must be a surge in interest in the Western style of riding there. And, of course, the people who are reading my work, and I'm getting some emails and some feedback on my books from folks there, they're newcomers to the style of riding and really enjoying it. And I don't know, it could be, you know, the American influence being exported, which I assume it's just some of the things going on in the media, and I know some of the clinicians have done quite well there, you know, in the last decade. So I'm sure it's you know, a number of things that are related to that. But it's always exciting to talk to readers wherever they are, and if people are enjoying the books and enjoying the articles, you know, it's wonderful to get that kind of feedback.
Well, Tom, if I want to get my grubby little paws on one of your books and purchase it and read it, how do I go about doing it?
Well, they're available pretty much, you know, at any major online outlet. I sell them through the website. It's www.tommoats.com, which looks like a badly misspelled tomatoes, but I try to capitalize the T and the M so it it stands out. But we sell them through the website, of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and amazon.co.uk in England. And, you know, in Australia, we actually can have the books printed and shipped in-country there. So if folks, actually the fastest and most dependable way in Australia for folks to get them is through my website.
Okay, how long have you been doing this? You said you were in your mid-30s when you got your first horse. I'll ask you a personal question. How many years you been at it? How old are you now?
I'd have to do some math, and I'm not too good with the math. That's why they leave me to work with the words. So I've been at it for, I want to say, probably going on 12, 13 years now. And, you know, I've been so obsessed with it, I've almost feel like it's been twice that long in terms of experience, just because, you know, you kind of, the hours that I can put into it sometimes is really enjoyable for me. You know, it's kind of like doing what I do. I've got the freedom to work at it 80 hours a week, and it doesn't seem like work because I love it so much.
Tom, let's take a break and hear from the folks who foot the bills for this program, but we'll be back with more from Tom Motes in a moment. You're listening to The Horseman's Corner.
In today's world, our body's immune system is critical to staying alive and healthy. Find the best immunity system building products at greengoldnaturalhealing.com. My wife and I believe so much in these products that we became representatives in order to help others. Visit greengoldnaturalhealing.com. And as always, thanks again for listening and may God bless. I'm Brian Hale.
Welcome back to the Horseman's Corner. I'm Howard Hale, host of the program, and let's continue our discussion with equine author and journalist Tom Motes. What do you hope to accomplish with this body of work that you're doing? What's your goals?
Maybe the best way to kind of explain that is to share a little feedback that I often get, because it's feedback that always makes me feel really good about what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm trying to share my personal experiences, and, you know, the feedback that I get from readers so often is that they really appreciate the honesty in my books, and I think what they mean is that, you know, these aren't books that try to teach, and they certainly don't teach deliberately. If they, you know, I share my firsthand experiences with horses, and I share what I've personally seen, you know, in clinics, and I also sometimes will try to get the voices of other folks who have visited with me about aspects of horsemanship that I found really, really helpful. And so I compile these things into the narrative of the books. And, you know, I get reader responses that really thank me for sharing in, you know, the stories, the wrecks, the hard things, the difficult things, the embarrassing things that I've gone through, because they also, you know, a lot of people have gone through these same things. And so my books don't try to say, hey, you know, here's where you can get your horse going better in 10 steps. You know, it's actually quite the opposite of that. It's just personal experiences that have been very difficult for me, and yet I've found a way to improve my relationship with the horse in some way, either muddling through it myself or actually seeing something that happened, but very often, you know, getting advice from my friend, clinician Harry Whitney. And, you know, I'll often visit with him either at clinics or on the phone. We've been good friends for a long time, and he has such an amazing way of helping people to see what's going on with a horse and to, you know, really try to improve communication there. And, you know, so much of the work in my books in particular is straight, you know, from learning from Harry. And the first book's entitled The Horse's Thought, and I mean, in a way, it's a great way to start, because Harry's really hung up on a horse's thought, where a horse's thought is, how a horse thinks. But being able to work with the horse in such a way that the horse is with you, is mentally with you, that their thoughts are really with you, and then we can try to ask that horse to take that thought somewhere and then bring himself along in such a way that there's a real togetherness there. And for me, when I've been in wrecks or been in trouble, I mean, I'd be willing to say every time that's ever happened, it's because the horse's thought wasn't with me. The horse wasn't with me. And if I can really, from the very beginning, even in the tiniest little things, even when I go to halter my horse and start out, if I can ask that horse to bring his thought along with me and keep it with me, that, you know, that's when I have those moments that are really inspired and really moving, because, you know, a horse is such a special creature. They're so, it's amazing to me that a horse is created in such a way that it can dovetail with a human on so many levels if the relationship is strong, is together, if there's real communication happening. And, you know, every time I get that, every time I get that, even for a few steps or a few minutes, it's profoundly moving for me. I've been trying to get this down in words, you know, for years and years now. And, you know, sometimes I think I get glimpses of it, but I don't think I ever really convey how emotionally deep that experience is for me.
Well, I do know this, if that when that horse's mind wanders is oftentimes when the wrecks occur.
Well, yeah, and you know, anyone that's read much of my work knows that there have been times I thought a horse was with me, and then we had a wreck, and then we realized that it wasn't what was happening at all. I got a great chapter, and you know, honestly, I remember the chapter, but I can't tell you the name or exactly. It was in one of the first two books, A Horse's Thought or Between the Reins. I can't remember which. I was riding a horse, Niji, and we were going up a driveway. And, you know, I through a series of rather exciting experiences, I discovered that, you know, just because we were going up the driveway and everything seemed like it was going good, the horse just happened to be wanting to go in the same direction I wanted to go, but we weren't together. But he wasn't acting up. He wasn't off the line. He was. But the only reason it seemed that way to me was because, you know, we were going along without trouble, and then the minute something happened to gain his attention off to the side, or he took his thought one way and I wanted to take mine the other, boy, that's when things really got bad. And so, you know, I had to get someone to actually watch me ride, and I, you know, that knew what was going on to let me know when that horse started to wander. And I mean, it was quite an experience to understand that horse was wandering. His mind was going somewhere else in the first step, the first or second step before we, I mean, let alone, you know, 100 feet up the driveway. So it's, those are the kind of things that I've really tried to, I ride them out for myself in a way. And, you know, oftentimes it's just me and a horse, a pad of paper and a laptop, and I don't know. I don't always get a lot of feedback, but I've been at it long enough now, and with the new book having just come out, I've been getting more than usual. And so it's really nice to see that other people have shared these experiences and, you know, find mine helpful. Or some people say, especially Harry Whitney is so prevalent in his, you know, he's quoted frequently in there because he's taught me so much, just being the fellow who's been able to communicate with me the best out of, you know, the teachers that I've sought. And, you know, they say, well, it's like I can pull the book off the shelf and start reading. It's like being at a Harry Whitney clinic. And to me, that's a huge compliment because it's such a difficult thing, horsemanship, and the nuances. As you know, I'm sure, you know, horses, no two horses are alike, and no two situations are alike, and no two people are alike. And so how do we even talk about these things? You know, it's just, there's so much that has to be between the lines in the narrative of a book about horsemanship. it's so difficult. And so I think that if a story, you know, if a story can convey an idea in a solid way, and people can, you know, pull a book off the shelf and look at it and say, wow, it's like being at a Harry Whitney clinic, that's about as good a compliment as I think I can ever receive, you know, because it means to me that they're saying I am, you know, either they're being reminded of things that they already had a grip on, or else they're having an aha moment where something that they've been licking and chewing on for a while kind of bloomed in their mind. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, let me ask you this question. How'd you get hooked up with Harry Whitney? Because he's not exactly a household name.
Yeah, this is true. You know, Harry's been clinicking for 25 years at least, and he's done a regular circuit of America. And he's got a solid, if not, you know, smaller following. But Harry, I got connected with Harry through my journalism. When I was starting to write about horses, I was assigned an article. Well, actually, it was my idea, but I got it assigned on picking up a soft feel, because personally, I was trying to understand these things. And so I was so compelled to try to figure out what these things meant and what they were, that it's just like I had this unending list of articles to do, because if I didn't know what they were, probably a lot of other people didn't either. And it was just a wonderful scenario for me as a journalist. So I was doing what I call a roundtable discussion. I was talking to many clinicians about a single topic and getting different quotes to put an article together. And I had interviewed, a lot of clinicians that are more household names and, much more marketed and promoted. And a friend of mine had seen Harry. He comes to Tennessee each year. He's actually there now for May, part of May and part of June. And anyway, she said, you really should talk to this guy about picking up soft feel, because he's just, one of her favorite clinicians. I said, okay. So anyway, we got a number, and when I was talking to Harry, it was just such a different experience for me. I mean, he was so careful at the words that he chose, and he was kind of, I want to use the word sort of humble. I mean, he was, he didn't have books, he didn't have videos, he wasn't comfortable doing that kind of thing. I had never heard of him, he didn't have a lot of promotional things. He didn't sell gear. He taught people one-on-one. I mean, that's just what he did. And for me, what he had to say really resonated. And one of the things that he said was, it's very, very difficult to talk about these things. Maybe we could get together so we could have a horse and we could kind of go over it, that it would be, way, way better. And he invited me to come out to some clinics in Arizona. He has a place in Salome, Arizona. And I was in no position to go to Arizona, but I went ahead and just on this crazy, I don't even know why, I, booked a flight and got the farm straight to leave and went out for 2 weeks. And it changed my life. It changed my perceptions of horsemanship. And, I had a lot of one-on-one time with Harry and horses and watching him in clinic settings. It was the beginning of a really long friendship. And at that point also, it just, I kind of became a one teacher student. And I just, have focused my resources and my time with Harry because he's really resonated with me personally. And so that's how we met, and that's kind of how it started. And since then, the relationship and the friendship has bloomed, and I've been to many of his clinics now, and he doesn't write books, he doesn't do videos, and he's been very, very helpful with sort of vetting my material when I'm putting a book together, because it involves his teaching, it involves his quotes and some of the things that have happened to his clinics. So he's been available to me to visit about, what I'm putting down, if he saw things the same way, if there's anything I need to add to make sure a point is clear, those kind of things. So, in a lot of ways, a horse's thought between the reins and now further along the trail are, really about Harry's teachings. I have a lot of my personal experiences in there, but also I've been to so many clinics. If I see something that, an instance at a clinic where I really learned something, I will work those in and get other people's voices in there as well. And, these variety of different horses as well. It's just, been great fun. And I really appreciate, Harry being open to, allowing me to present him in these books, because it's, to me, it's really a blessing, and it's, I think probably very unusual. I don't know if there's any other books like this out there, so.
Well, Tom, doggone it, we've run out of time for this segment of the Horseman's Corner, but gosh, thanks for being with me this morning. I really appreciate it. You folks stay tuned. We'll have a lot more in a moment. You're listening to the Horseman's Corner.
Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of the extended version of the Horseman's Corner. Today's guest was equine author Tom Motes. And remember, there's always more on horsemanscorner.com. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless. I'm Brian Hale.